You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Picasso knows your vacation home is your best home. It's the place that brings family and friends together. It's where you're the best version of yourself. Picasso makes it easy to co-own a luxury vacation home in amazing locations. Listings start at $200,000 for 1/8 ownership. Picasso does all the work for you. Luxury furnishings, maintenance, billing, scheduling, and more. And you can resell on Picasso's marketplace anytime, historically for a 10% gain. Visit Picasso to see thousands of listings. That's PACASO.com.
Welcome to The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson, along here with Tolliver. Hi, Tolliver.
Hello, my dear friend. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. And by the way, I've been looking up at the moon, wondering, can I see the lander? Because they just landed for the first time since 1972.
Yeah.
I want to tell our listeners, keep your questions about that for April 4th, when astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson is going to be on The Middle, and we're going to be talking about space.
Oh.
Tonight, I'm not going to talk about 1972. We're going to go back to 1968 right now. I want to set the stage here. Lyndon Johnson was the president of the United States. The Vietnam War was raging, and Robert F. Kennedy got into the race as a Democratic challenger to Johnson on March 16th, as in about a month from now. Johnson decided not to run for re-election 2 weeks later. Kennedy won a number of primaries before being assassinated, as you know, in June of 1968. The eventual nominee of the party was Hubert Humphrey, who didn't even compete in any of the primaries and, of course, ended up losing to Richard Nixon in the general election.
Yeah, gobsmacking to this day. Wild.
So after all that, in 1972, the Democrats started the process where a handful of smaller states, starting with Iowa, have a ton of power in selecting the nominee. And Republicans followed that model starting in 1976. And the result, Tolliver, is that after just a few contests this year, Joe Biden is basically uncontested and Donald Trump thinks the race is over. Here he is, after winning the New Hampshire primary, mocking Nikki Haley for remaining in the race.
And when I watched her in the fancy dress that probably wasn't so fancy come up, I said, what's she doing? We won. And she did the same thing last week. But Ron beat her also. You know, Ron came in second and he left. She came in third and she's still hanging around.
Okay, so we want to hear from you this hour. Is it time we change the way we nominate our presidential candidates? Tolliver, how can people reach us?
Call 8444-MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. Or reach out at listentothemiddle.com.
And right now, let's meet our panel. Gavin Jackson is a host and reporter at South Carolina Public Radio. He's been traveling around the country following the campaign. He hosts the weekly South Carolina Lead podcast. He joins us from Myrtle Beach. Gavin, welcome to The Middle.
Thanks for having me, Jeremy.
And also joining us, Kathy Geisel, the majority leader of the Alaska Senate Bipartisan Coalition. Senator Geisel, welcome to you.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And before we get to the phones, I want to ask each of you a couple of questions. Gavin Jackson, does it feel to you right now like the race is still alive on the Republican side?
I like to think so, Jeremy, since I've been covering it so much. Right. But yeah, I think... you know, I think if you talk to Nikki Haley, she says very much so, right? Like, there's still enthusiasm on the ground here in South Carolina, her home state, of course. Folks are still turning out to these events. She's been having a bus tour for the past 2 weeks leading up to Saturday's primary. And folks, you know, in the small towns of South Carolina, like her hometown of Bamberg, there are maybe about 50 to 60 people showing up there. In some bigger areas, she has even thousands of folks I've seen some Donald Trump rallies. He's had a couple thousand folks at his events too. So people are still amped up. They do see it as somewhat of a foregone conclusion. And that clip you played from Donald Trump, Nikki Haley loves to mention that clip on stage when she's out campaigning and really getting the folks energized, because she uses that example specifically to talk about how he was in a tizzy, or she says he's unhinged that night because he did win New Hampshire and he focused on her and her dress, which you mentioned right there. Mm-hmm. So it's a pretty good applause line. It's a pretty good laugh line. And a lot of folks you talk to are just really ready for something different. So they are really hoping, you know, hoping against all odds that something happens for Nikki Haley going forward. But as we all know, like, she has not won a state yet, and she's not poised to win her home state.
And then Super Tuesday comes up very quickly. Senator Geisel, one of the reasons we wanted to have you on is because you're in a state that recently changed the way it nominates candidates, not for president, but for other offices. It uses ranked choice voting, which means the top vote getters in any party advance to the general election, then people rank them in order. Has that made a big difference in Alaska?
Well, it has, Jeremy, but let me clarify a little bit more about our system. Our system is a primary that is open. Mm-hmm. In other words, every candidate, Republican, Democrat, Independent, are all listed on the same ballot, and the top four vote getters go forward. This is a key piece. If you really want to do pure election reform, it requires that open primary, and then you go to that ranked choice voting. Those top four go forward. So if we were to apply this to this presidential election, wouldn't that be interesting?
Well, and it's not just open in that way. It's also open. Anybody can vote in that primary, right?
Yes, that is correct. Thank you. That is a key point. And everyone votes on the same ballot.
And we mentioned that you're part of this bipartisan Senate coalition. Is that because of ranked choice voting?
It is a key part of it. Yes, we have had a bipartisan coalition in the past, but it's been more than a decade. And the open primary and the instant runoff, another name for ranked choice voting, really opened the door to, again, a bipartisan coalition in our state Senate.
Gavin, just before we get to the phones, and they are ringing, you're based in South Carolina. I imagine South Carolinians think the system is just fine the way it is because they have so much power in the campaign.
Yeah, I mean, we do have open primaries, too, and there is a non-binding question on the Republican ballot asking folks if they do want to close the primaries. And there might be more steam behind that than there was in the past, because, you know, the reason we don't register by party in South Carolina is because, yes, you might want to vote for a Republican governor, but you know the sheriff or you know a coroner who is a Democrat. So you don't want to have to pick and choose that way. But more and more at the local level, those folks, to the credit of the state Republican Party, are being to become Republicans because the state is becoming more Republican, unlike our neighbors, Georgia and North Carolina. We're still very ruby red here in South Carolina. So, open primary, except for folks who voted in the February 3rd Democratic primary, which Joe Biden won, you know, hands down.
Right.
Because we were first in the nation that time. So
the number to call is 844-4MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. Let's go to Dwayne, who is joining us from New Orleans. Dwayne, welcome to the middle. What do you think?
Hi, good evening. I think it's a very interesting question. I think I'm in Louisiana, and so we kind of just observe all this other primary stuff going on. And we, in our state elections, have an open primary.
Right.
And it's a little bit different than the system you described. But I think a system, a national open primary, would do a lot to reduce the partisanship that is just rampant through politics now.
Why do you think that?
I think it's because of the primary system. In the primaries, the candidates have to run so hard to get the party base that they kind of go all in on the extreme, you know, right or left of their party to try to get through the primary, and it's hard to walk that back during a general election.
Dwayne, thank you so much. For that call. Let me take that to Kathy Geisel. You know, we've said before that the general election is one in the middle, the primary is one on the fringes. Do you think that having an open primary, a national primary, as Dwayne said, would make a big difference?
Well, it made a big difference here certainly for me. I actually lost the closed primary election in 2020. I had already served in the Senate for 10 years. I was up for re-election. I was not far enough right, conservative enough for the Republican Party here. So they put up another candidate, and I lost in the primary in 2020. That same election, that same general election, the people of Alaska voted on a citizens' initiative that created the open primary, top four of the primary go forward, and then the ranked choice voting or instant runoff. Because of that new system, I was able to win in the primary. Mm-hmm. In fact, I did have the most votes in the primary out of the candidates that were running, and then went on to win the ranked choice voting. What it does is it changes how the candidate campaigns. I completely changed. I was no longer appealing to my base. Mm. And as the previous caller said, trying to be the most conservative or most appealing to the Republican Party. I happen to be a Republican. Instead, I had to speak to everyone. I had to listen to everyone, and I had to find common ground with everyone. It completely changed how I ran for election.
Gavin, you know, you've been following the candidates. We have seen a little bit of a change in Nikki Haley ever since New Hampshire, but they're still going after the base, right? I mean, certainly Donald Trump is. Is Haley still going after the base?
You know, it's interesting because she does have her base of support here in South Carolina, but she's really aware of like that ceiling, and that ceiling that Trump has and his cemented foundation. And so what she's doing in both her speeches and in even her media appearances, I mean, she was on NPR today with Steve Inskeep, right? Like, when was the last time you've heard that? She's really making that broad pitch to more folks in the party, to which to her detriment somewhat from some of these Republicans are in the Trump camp who are saying that she is, for the Democrats. She is a Democrat, which could be further from the truth. I mean, she just came out in support of personhood today. So like, mm-hmm. or the other day. I mean, it's kind of a reminder of that fact, which, you know, she's throwing that red meat out there for the base to remind them that she is a Republican. She was MAGA before MAGA existed. She was Tea Party, right? She got it in 2010 as governor. She was touched by Sarah Palin, former governor out there in Alaska. So, I mean, that really got her propelled into the situation. So, I think it's she's doing what she can to get as many votes as she can, and that includes getting independents, disenfranchised, disaffected, I should say, Democrats who sat out the Democratic primary earlier this month because it was a foregone conclusion for Joe Biden. I mean, we typically don't even have a primary for the incumbent. We didn't for Trump. We didn't mm-hmm. for Obama. That Democratic primary was a thank you from Joe Biden. And as well as, right. you know, because we helped select him as the nominee back in 2020. And of course, the DNC chair is Jamie Harrison, former Democratic Party leader here in South Carolina.
By the way, fair to say, Senator Giesel, that Sarah Palin is not in Congress right now because of ranked choice voting?
No, that would not be fair.
It would not be fair.
I am going to dispel that myth.
Okay.
It was not because of ranked choice voting. It was because Sarah did not run well. Okay. Alaskans have a problem with her.
Okay. Tolliver, one of the side effects of our current primary system is that a single moment in the early states can make or break a candidacy.
That's right, Jeremy. Case in point, 2004, when Democratic hopeful Howard Dean placed third in the Iowa caucus and got very excited.
And you know something? You know something? Not only are we going to New Hampshire, Tom Harkin, we're going to South Carolina and Oklahoma and Arizona and North Dakota and New Mexico. And we're going to California and Texas and New York. And we're going to South Dakota and Oregon and Washington and Michigan. And then we're going to Washington, D.C. to take back the White House. Yeah!
It's just waiting for that the whole time.
Absolutely.
And you knew it was coming.
Very WWE. You know?
By the way, the middle is raising money as we get into this campaign election season. You can contribute tax deductible contribution at listentothemiddle.com. If you're a fan of the podcast, we hope you will do that in any amount, maybe a monthly contribution. Mm. That would be wonderful. Help us get out on the road leading up to the election. That's at listentothemiddle.com. We'll be right back in a minute.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you're just tuning in, The Middle is a national call-in show. We're focused on elevating voices from the middle, geographically, politically, philosophically, or maybe you just want to meet in the middle. This hour, we're asking, is it time to change the way we nominate our presidential candidates? Whether you do think it is or you don't, we want to hear from you. Tolliver, what's the number?
It's 844-464-3353, which is also 844-4-MIDDLE. You can also write to us at listentothemiddle.com or on social media.
I'm joined by Gavin Jackson, host and reporter at South Carolina Public Radio, and Kathy Geisel, the majority leader of the Alaska Senate Bipartisan Coalition. Let's go to Sally, who's calling from Durham, North Carolina. Sally, go ahead. What do you think?
I think that the whole system is a mess. I think that the candidates have to raise so much money. It's just, they spend so much money, and environmentally it's terrible because they fly all over the place.
It's the money that bothers you.
Really, very upset. Yes, the money and the environmental degradation.
So how would you change it? What would you like to see happen?
I'd like to have ranked choice voting.
Ranked choice voting.
I think that a national campaign. Yeah. I think a national campaign where, like, there was just a time limit, you know, for a month or two, you advertise on, you know, online, on television, on the radio,
keep it shorter than it is right now. Sally, thank you for that. Gavin Jackson, what about the length of it? Let's talk about that part of it. It does go on for a very long time. We mentioned, you know, back in the 1960s and how things started like in March. Now Iowa caucuses are early January. It goes on forever.
And Jeremy, I want to keep it that way. I want to keep it, and not like the entire process, but Iowa going first, because you see how it just starts up 2 years out, however many years out from the actual election day, and then it's nonstop. I mean, South Carolina is first in the South. We became, for the Republicans, it was first in the nation for the Democrats. I don't know if that's going to hang around in 2028. I low-key hope it doesn't, because it will become like Iowa, where they're just coming through, because it's going to be wide open in 2028. But at the same time, you talk to Iowans, you talk to folks in New Hampshire, you talk to folks in South Carolina. They love meeting these people. They love seeing these people. Yes, they're bombarded with mailers, with advertising. You can't turn the TV on with all the ads. But they like to go out and see these people and actually ask them the questions and get the answers. The money is fascinating. And to her point, you know, Nikki Haley flew commercial the entire time, pretty much. And I think she still pretty much is. She's got a bus going across the state. So, I mean, you could call that economical and somewhat environmentally friendly. But yeah, there is a lot that goes into it. But, you know, it also supports a lot of folks, too, supports a lot of jobs and gets people engaged in a way. And it still doesn't engage enough people, because look at voter turnout. They still don't even turn out, really.
Well, and Kathy Geisel, you know, you're in Alaska. When was the last time a presidential candidate came there for a campaign stop? Like, it's too late in the process. It's probably not big. I think it's on Super Tuesday. One of the parties is doing it on Super Tuesday. So out of all the states on Super Tuesday, why would they ever choose to go to Little Alaska? And it's just not enough delegates.
We only had, three electoral votes. Right. And I don't know that a presidential candidate has ever come here.
Yeah. Wow. But so then how do you feel about these states like New Hampshire and South Carolina and Iowa getting so much power?
Well, it is concerning to Alaskans. It's true. And that's part of the reason there's a lot of Alaskans that want to go to a national popular vote for a president. Mm-hmm. Not enough yet that we would make that change, but there's certainly a lot of discussion about it because we are pretty much left out.
Let's go to Scott, who's calling from Charleston, West Virginia. Scott, welcome to the middle. What do you think? How should the process change, or should it?
Well, I was just listening to that. I like all those ideas, and I've read a lot about ranked choice voting, and I like it because it gets the middle to pick the candidates, and that's what this country needs now, because and avoid the extremes, because it's a zero-sum game of the two extremes. If it's good for the other side, well, we're not for it. And so we've got paralyzed government. And it's a great example what's happening in the House right now, where the House majority or the House speaker is essentially threatened, lose his job. What we need, and I told your producer, I'm in West Virginia. We have a Republican supermajority, and West Virginia legislature is in session right now. And West Virginia Public Radio had a great interview with a couple of legislators, and one talked about ranked choice voting, or was asked about ranked choice voting. Mm-hmm. He says, oh, don't want that because it takes too long to get the results, so people mm-hmm. think it's being rigged. Mm-hmm. Guess what? And so he dismissed it right out of hand. And I think mm-hmm. that's wrong, because if it's clear and presented to people what's happening and you rank your votes, then it is a good way to do it.
Scott, let me ask you a question, because you're in West Virginia, sure. which is home to, of course, Joe Manchin, who you mentioned you like the middle. I mean, he's got to be one of the most middle members of the Senate, you know, sometimes switched over and supports what the Republicans want. Do you like him?
He's all right. I think he's tried to be too powerful. He should have, used that power earlier rather than trying to hold out and force both sides and all that. But, mm-hmm. I have voted for him before.
Okay. Scott, thank you so much for that call. And Kathy Geisel, another lover of ranked choice voting. It seems to be very popular.
Yes. And you mentioned Joe Manchin. And of course, he's good friends with our Senator Lisa Murkowski, who is also a moderate Republican and gets reelected and was reelected under the ranked choice voting system. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely right. It does allow folks to actually have more of their voice heard in terms of choosing someone that it has common ground with them, right? That that actually isn't out on the fringes, but actually wants to get something done. That's really what an open primary coupled with ranked choice voting allows candidates to do. It allows the voter to elect candidates that are willing to work with everyone and willing to work on the key issues that the citizens want, not what the parties want. Mm-hmm.
Gavin Jackson.
Yeah. And I wanted to kind of circle back there, Jeremy, to the caller from North Carolina. I was also kind of excited when he said Charleston. I was like, Charleston, South Carolina, but it was West Virginia. But when she was talking about the expense and the money that goes into it, not everyone starts off these presidential bids with money. And the advantage of places like Iowa, like New Hampshire, like South Carolina, is that they're affordable. They're small to get around in. Like in South Carolina, you can go from the upstate like Greenville, whole middle of the state to Charleston all in one day. And they're all like, 2 hours apart from each other. And that's affordable. And that way you can kind of get your message out. You can kind of test your message. You can reach people and even possibly catch fire. I think Nikki Haley is a pretty good example of how that worked. She was kind of counted out in the beginning because she wasn't Ron DeSantis. She didn't have $32 million in the bank like Senator Tim Scott, but she did make an impression on folks during those debates, as we kind of expected her to do. And that propelled her to do more, to raise her profile more. And she's still in it, and those guys aren't.
Well, and this is one of the things that people have said about why not to do a national primary where all the states vote at the same time is because it would make it so expensive to be really competitive in a race like that.
President Michael Bloomberg.
Right. Oh, yeah. What did he win? Let's go to Eric, who's in St. Paul, Minnesota. Eric, welcome to the middle. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. So something happened in 2016 that I haven't heard much discussion of, but to me, this was very important to getting us to where we are today. And that year, there was a lot of discussion about the superdelegates at the national convention, and the debate was happening at both parties. And my recollection is that Republicans actually went ahead and got rid of the superdelegates. Democrats didn't, although among my friends, I know there's a lot of questioning about why we have them, and they were hoping for change. But I guess in my mind, I've been thinking that it was really the end of the superdelegates in the Republican Party that opened it up to an unconventional, extreme populist candidate who could take over the party. So I guess advocating for superdelegates might not be the most popular position, but maybe they have a check on the most extreme candidates or candidates that are going to move the parties too far from more centrist position.
Well, the Democrats now, I think 15% of the Democratic Party delegates at the DNC are still superdelegates, but I believe that is down from what it used to be. Gavin Jackson, I'll go back to you on this, because one of the reasons why we have the primaries and the caucuses and let the people vote was to get out of the sort of backroom party boss thing that basically the superdelegates is like a relic of.
Yeah, and it's almost like, you know, it's everything with evolution in politics. You know, it seems like we keep going. That one caller was talking about trying to make things better, and it's like this is the best we got so far. But of course, you know, when you're talking about money, we're not talking about delegates here, but money, Citizens United, that changed the game, of course. But it seems still to be the best way, the most democratic, small d democratic way to do this entire process is to do it state by state. Win these delegates, and you know, sometimes it's a matter of proportional delegates in states versus the winner-take-all system in certain states. You know, you're seeing that's going to be in California for Super Tuesday. It's in South Carolina with our 50 delegates. But it's broken down by state different. You know, you can still win proportionally depending on how many votes you get. And in South Carolina, there's at-large delegates, and there's also delegates that are allocated by our 7 congressional districts too. So if you do well in one district, you can pick up a couple. But for the most part, that winner-take-all system really is the key there.
Let's go to Olivia, who's in American Fork, Utah. Olivia, welcome to the middle. What do you think?
I have never liked the Electoral College in general for elections or nominations, because as a leftist in a super red state, it feels like my vote doesn't even count. You know, it just feels like I'm throwing away my vote. And I always look at swing states and I go, should I move there to make a difference? And I just think that the popular vote should hold more sway. When I first turned 18 and learned to vote, I was unaware that popular vote isn't how it worked, because that's what I was taught in school, you know, that whoever gets the most votes wins. And so I just didn't understand the weight of my vote just depends on the Electoral College. And I think we should have ranked voting.
Yeah. Another lover of ranked voting. And by the way, thank you for bringing up the Electoral College. I'm reserving the right, Tolliver, to hold on to Electoral College as a whole show of the middle in the fall. Right? We've got time. We've got time to do a whole. But I will ask you, Senator Giesel, about the point that Kathy was making there, which is that, do the people have enough say in the presidential race?
Sure, that was a good point. And actually, in ranked choice voting, they would have more of a say, because remember, they get to choose. They are most motivated to choose their favorite candidate for their first choice, right? And maybe they realize that first choice is not going to make it, so they get a second choice. So really, it really is more of a popular type vote to have that ranking.
Are you surprised, by the way, at how many people have called in so far to say that they want ranked choice voting, Senator?
I'm thrilled to hear it. You know, so many states are considering it now. I've talked to folks in Wisconsin, Idaho, Utah. Yeah, it's great.
Although there's a movement in Alaska now, just a couple years in, to get rid of it.
Yes, there is a referendum to withdraw. It's a citizen group is doing that. And it's a citizen group that was a supporter of Sarah Palin, feels that the system is why she lost. That is not true. She is not terribly popular here. And the way that campaign, well, I can tell you more about that election if there's time sometime, but she just was not a good candidate. And the Democrat, Alaska Native woman who won, was really a good candidate. And we're all, well, many of us are very, very pleased with the work that Mary Peltola is
doing. Right. Let's go to Jane in Marlboro, Massachusetts. Jane, welcome to the middle. What do you think? Hi, Jane.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead. What do you think?
Sorry. I am a fan of ranked choice voting, and here in Massachusetts, it got voted out when we had a referendum, and it seemed like a lot of people didn't understand the concept. But I wanted to comment about the primary issue, which I don't believe Iowa and New Hampshire should continue to be the first so-called caucus and primary. I think we should have like a group of states that are all next to each other, the northwestern United States or the northeastern United States. And each election, a group of, say, 10 would be the first primary, so the economic benefit gets spread around, and it would save the environmental issue that the caller before mentioned, which I agree with, that all these people flying around everywhere back and forth is a total waste, and it would just be a lot fairer.
Gavin Jackson, regional primaries. This is an idea that a lot of people are talking about. You would have basically, it would be rotating. You'd have, you know, the South gets to go one time, and then next time around that maybe the Northeast goes first or whatever. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that would be fascinating. I mean, I think a lot of different regions do need to get some love because they do kind of get shunted off. Like your caller from Utah was talking about how, you know, does my vote count? Of course your vote counts because it, you know, shows that the popular vote is still stronger for one party than the other. You know, I grew up in Maryland, so I'm, you know, you could say it was solidly blue. It still somewhat is solidly blue. But I think that when it comes down to changing how primaries are done, you saw the Democrats try and do that. And New Hampshire was not happy about that because it's in their state law. But it comes down to the parties and if the parties want to change that. And of course, there are loyalties to different states. There are reasons that they're in different states. I think for the Democrats, they probably should have a little bit more of a come to Jesus about that, because that is why South Carolina is so important, because we have such a diverse electorate here. Even the Republicans are diverse in, when it comes to ideological backgrounds in South Carolina, which is why we are so good at picking the eventual nominee and presidents here, because we have a good mix of folks here versus just Iowa and New Hampshire. And you know, New Hampshire voters are completely different than South Carolina voters. You have your undeclareds, your independents. That's not such a factor here in South Carolina. So you do have a little bit of mix and match. It would be interesting to see how a regional primary would work. But at the same time, I think it kind of goes back to what we've been talking about, that we're kind of at the best, you know, best way that, of the system right now. Could it get better? Yes. But if you switch it up entirely, folks are going to find ways to work it to their advantage and their disadvantage as well.
And one wonders if Alaska would get any love in a regional primary system. Would it be part of the West?
Talk about flying around. You have to fly everywhere in Alaska.
Exactly. Tolliver, we're getting some comments in at listentothemiddle.com.
Yeah, Tom in Nashville writes, 1,000 times yes, it would be transformative if even a quarter of the country were to follow Alaska's lead by adopting nonpartisan primaries and ranked choice voting. Larry writes, in today's communication world, there should be ranked choice voting and or all the state primaries should be on the same day. Does anything less give every legitimate voter the same voice?
By the way, just to be clear, we did not ask just about ranked choice voting, but people are, this is all organic. People are coming up. Kathy Giesel, people love ranked choice voting, it seems like, in the middle audience.
That's great. And you know, a lot of people, the people that push back on it say it's too complicated, voters won't understand it. That is not true. We found that was not the case in Alaska. In fact, we did a lot of events at state fairs and things like that. Children would come up and rank the jelly bean flavors, showing their parents how to do it.
Tolliver, notching key victories in the caucuses and primaries is often seen as a roadmap to the nomination and ultimately to the presidency.
Absolutely, but that's not always the case. Take a listen to Walter Cronkite in the CBS News report about the 1980 Iowa caucuses.
It looks like a smashing victory for President Carter over Senator Kennedy tonight in the Iowa caucuses. And on the Republican side, George Bush apparently has done what he hoped to do, coming out of the pack. as the principal challenger to frontrunner Ronald Reagan. Tonight, a look at the results and what they mean as Campaign 80 gets off to an exciting beginning. It looks like a smashing victory for President Carter over Senator Kennedy tonight in the Iowa caucuses. And on the Republican side, George Bush apparently has done what he hoped to do, coming out of the pack as the principal challenger to frontrunner Ronald Reagan. Tonight, a look at the results and what they mean as Campaign 80 gets off to an exciting beginning.
George H.W. Bush may have edged out Reagan in the Iowa caucuses, but the Republican nomination ultimately went to the former California governor.
Right, 1980. And we'll be back with more of your calls on The Middle.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On-demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is The Middle. I'm Jeremy Hobson. If you're just joining us, we're asking if you think it's time we change the way we nominate our presidential candidates. Why do base voters in states like Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina have so much power? Call us at 844-4MIDDLE. That's 844-464-3353. Or you can reach out at listentothemiddle.com. I'm joined by Gavin Jackson, host and reporter at South Carolina Public Radio, and Kathy Geisel, majority leader of the Alaska Senate Bipartisan Coalition. A lot of calls on the line, so let's go to Edie in Columbia, South Carolina. Edie, welcome to The Middle. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. First of all, I'll say that Gavin's taking quite a few of the points that I was going to make, but a couple, I do want to emphasize. First, to several folks who talked about money in campaigns and how it's, you know, just way too just overboard. Folks forget that the reason there are money in campaigns is the purpose of that is for candidates to be able to communicate their message with voters, because generally voters are not going to go out of their way or break their normal routine to find out much about the voters. So often, you know, there are people who would even forget to vote. So that is the purpose of money in campaigns for communication. Mm-hmm. And two, I'd like to say South Carolina, New Hampshire and Iowa, they are great primary states because, as Gavin mentioned, they're smaller but diverse in each and every way. South Carolina more so than the others. But that's important because candidates have to actually interact with individuals.
Have you met the candidates at all this year?
2016 is different.
Edie, have you met any of the candidates this year?
I've met almost all of them.
Okay. All right. So, with the
exception of Donald Trump, I've been to his rallies, but I have not personally met him. But I've shaken the hands of almost every single one.
Wow.
So I would say, and that's what one of the former chairman used to say, that, you know, in South Carolina, they're not going to vote for you unless they shake your hand at least three times.
Right. Well, Edie, thank you so much for that call. Gavin Jackson, a supporter of yours also. Edie in South Carolina.
Yeah, and I think I know that which Edie that is calling. It's such a small state, you know, people that call your national show. But it's good hearing from Edie. But also, I think it's interesting to note that because we are in this post-Trump political world, right, where you were supposed to have to go and shake everyone's hand. But he has proven that if you were powerful enough, if you were popular enough, it doesn't matter. You don't have to go see him. He made his first rally here in South Carolina this year. I think 2 weeks ago, for the first time since September. It was his first rally since September. And it just goes to show that he didn't need to campaign here. And he's going to have another rally on Friday afternoon, and that'll be his third appearance in the state. And he doesn't need to do much more than that because he's turning out the people. They still support him. Come whatever, they're going to support Donald Trump. And that's just goes to his popularity. But I think going back to normal times, I guess in normal quotation marks, when you're having to go knock on doors, you're having to go talk to people, it does make a difference going and doing that. And you do need money. I mean, you see these events, they take money to put on, they take money to make signs and yard signs and those kinds of things. So, and to support staff to get the organization, to get the message out. So it's not just all negative ads and mailers, but there's a lot more behind it too.
Let's go to Kathy, who's in Tampa, Florida. Kathy, what do you think?
Firstly, thank you for taking my call.
Of course.
And I want to say, I'm kind of changing a little bit of what I wanted to say. But my first point when I spoke to you earlier, I spoke to your colleague earlier, was that I think that that the voter needs to have more say in the primary elections. And if that's through ranked choice voting or whatever, that needs to happen. Because I think we're in a situation right now where many, many Americans are not happy with either candidate, but yet the parties themselves are pretty much forcing those candidates on us. In my situation, it's pretty extreme. I live in Florida, and the executive committee of the Democratic, the Florida Democratic Party, a number of months ago, decided that they would support Joe Biden no matter what, and that we would not have a Democratic primary in this state. And I believe that I was disenfranchised. I supported Joe Biden in 2020, but I no longer support him. And I know many other people are very unhappy with the thought of him having a second term.
Kathy, thank you. Thank you for that call. I mean, let's go to Kathy Geisel on that, on what Kathy was saying there.
Yeah, Jeremy, I totally agree with Kathy. You know, when we narrow it down to just two candidates, that's totally limiting. And as she pointed out, she was disenfranchised because a party took control. That's the beauty of having an open primary with four or five. Some states are leaning at five, but having four or five go forward from the primary into the general, so that the electorate has more than just two choices, and they have multiple choices in ranking as well. It you can actually hear the voter's voice then.
Well, and Gavin Jackson, she brought up the fact that most Americans, and in fact, in the polls, most Americans don't want the two candidates that look likely to be on the ticket this time around.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that goes back to primary voters versus general election voters, and the motivated, passionate primary voter who was going to go out and vote either early in South Carolina or on a Saturday in South Carolina and vote. But to the point where we're talking about, you know, being disenfranchised, I don't think that's entirely what happens when you have an incumbent leader of your party who's in office running again, like Joe Biden, or like we said, Donald Trump, or, you know, Barack Obama in the past. That we didn't have those primaries because it's a foregone conclusion. It costs money to put on primaries. We're talking about money to put on a primary, a perfunctory primary, when you have an incumbent. You know, that's kind of a waste in some sense.
Well, they're run by the parties, and the parties really have no interest in having a contested election because it might hurt the candidate who ends up being there at the end.
Yeah, and the state still puts on our primaries too. So it's like, you know, 96% of voters voted for Joe Biden on February 3rd. You know, Dean Phillips didn't even get 2% here. Marianne Williamson did get 2%. The voices were heard. I mean, you saw it in New Hampshire too. People wrote in Joe Biden. He wasn't even on the ballot there. So it's different when it's incumbents, and I get what you're saying, but, you know, wait for 2028 because it's going to be wide open on both sides.
Right. Let's go to Kevin, who's in Kansas City. Kevin, welcome to the middle. What do you think?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I think that they should reverse everything and go back to simple. You have 2 months or 3 months to have where you can campaign, and then you're done. You're done campaigning, whether it's social media, on TV, radio, all of that, because it's that media and all of that, I should say, negative campaigning that goes on that really ruins it for everybody. Because I get sick and tired at it right after whether Trump got elected or Biden got elected, the next day it was, hey, he's already running. He's doing a campaign. I'm tired of that. I want them to go back to, I'd like it to be really simple. You got 2, 3, 4, maybe 4 months, done. And then everybody's got to make their choice and let everybody be on the ballot.
And you're in Kansas City, so you get the ads from both Missouri and Kansas.
Well, I'm not even from Kansas City. I just happen to be living here. I'm not from Kansas City. I'm originally from Hawaii. And so, but the thing is, though, it's just too much money spent and wasted on stuff that could be used for something far more useful.
Right.
To you know, help the country. We're wasting it on it. We're wasting.
Sorry, Kevin. Thank you so much for that call. Kathy Geisel, a shorter campaign is what Kevin is calling for.
Well, yeah, but that means that the voters have to be engaged early on. But Kevin also made the point about negative campaigning. And that's one thing that this actually changes. In ranked choice voting, even the party, I'm a Republican, even that hardcore Democrat, I need to be able to appeal to him and listen to his voice and ask for the second place vote from him. You have to, it really does damper down the negative campaigning because you have to find middle ground with everyone.
Let's go to Rocky in Birmingham, Alabama. Hi, Rocky. Welcome to the middle.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing well. What do you think? What do you think?
So I kind of have a differing opinion than I guess everybody else. I like the ranked choice voting and what it would stand for, but I would rather see complete down ballots where nobody's party is listed. You know, if you're here to support the country, you should be able to reach both Republican and Democrats where they are. And I, as a voter, should be able to decide which Democrat and which Republican is best for the position that we're voting for. And I'm also a fan of midterm elections going the ranked choice voting way. And what I mean is, if you have four people you've selected at the end of that midterm, when that midterm election would start, you simply say to the elected people, hey, we've got four people that were chosen. Of those four people, these are the top two vote getters. Mm-hmm. If the voters tonight decide that you, as their elected official, have not done your job, they're going to vote no on you. And the second person that they voted for is going to be the replacement for you. And that eliminates that that additional mm-hmm. election cycle that everybody's already fussing about in the first place.
Rocky, thank you for that call. And Gavin, let me ask you about one thing that Rocky brought up there, which is like, what if you had a ballot that didn't have the party affiliation on there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that also goes back to states, because that's something that you can do down to the local level when it even comes to school boards, right? Like, you know, they're going to make school boards partisan at a time when we probably don't need more partisanship, right? You don't need to know who's Republican and Democrat. You just want to know who's for kids, for example. So that's state politics. That's why people should really be following what's going on in their state house, like Senator Giesold and others in the podcast that I host. But I want to go back to what the other caller was talking about, money and doing this sort of shorter sprint,
right,
shorter campaign cycle, because then again, kind of goes back to what we were talking about, where money becomes even a bigger factor, because you have to have money to do a short campaign in a country with 300 some million people. We're not a European country where it's this big and you can do a snap election or whatever. I don't even know how that works, but it works for them, I guess. But we have all these states, and you want to talk about being disenfranchised. No one's going to come to Hawaii or Kansas. They're going to go to California. They're going to go to Chicago. They're going to go to New York and bank on those folks to turn out, because then, you know, do we even have electoral college if we do that process? There's so many factors at play. And yes, I think people are really expressing their concern, and they're tired of this process. And hopefully there's some room for reform, because people are looking for something. But to do a wholesale change like that would really just upend things. And again, like I said, would there be some advantages, but there'd also be a lot of disadvantages and a lot of side right. effects that we don't know about.
Well, and by the way, you mentioned we have, I think, 330 million people in the country now. We said we've been doing this system with Iowa going first for the most part since like 1972. At that point, there were less than 200 million people in the United States. So think about that. We've expanded so much, and we're still using pretty much the same system. Let's go to Mike, who's in Belleville, Illinois. Mike, welcome to The Middle. What do you think?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think the rank file system is a great, you know, idea, and I would like to try to explore that. But I'd be more interested in just widening the pool, because, like, you know, when the founding fathers were, you know, crafting all their documents and all these important decisions that are being felt, you know, centuries later were being crafted. Like, those guys were the best and the brightest, at least the best and the brightest out of the people that were entitled enough to have voices, right? And I would just like to see, like, something more on the lines of having representatives come from all 50 states and then narrowing it down from there, maybe doing a midterm or something like that. But I would love to see more people in the pool, and just, mm-hmm. you know, rather than just having these chosen people come from two different mm-hmm. positions, having a much broader field to choose yeah. from. And if the rank and file system would pair well with that, I'd love it. But I just don't like this, that right now we're choosing between these two dudes. Like, how did that happen?
Mike, thank you so much for that call. And I am going to give Jim in Casper, Wyoming, one more chance here. Jim, if you're there, go ahead.
I am. Thank you for having me on. I think there's two things that need to happen. The first is, we need to get corporate donations to the candidates down to exactly zero. That way the candidates are not beholden to any particular corporation or megacorp or whatever. And that way they're only beholden to the people that donate. And then the other option here, I think the entire country, every single state, needs to move to a model similar to what Nebraska and Maine have, that distributed electoral vote. And this way, when someone is in a state like Washington, who is dominated on the West Coast by Seattle and Tacoma, right. very, very, very blue, but then you disenfranchise the people in the eastern side of the state, which are generally red. And so those voters don't come out because they know they're going to get their votes right. going to be overridden by that major population center. Plus, this also brings into play the smaller states like Wyoming, Montana, Idaho, right. Alaska, Hawaii, because they can actually then split their votes, and then they become part of the Electoral College.
Right.
And this model does not violate the constitutionality of the Electoral College.
Well, let me bring that to Kathy Geisel. You know, he's talking about states like Nebraska, where you, like, you have one congressional district that can go one way and the rest of the state can go the other way in the election. Just briefly, your thoughts on that idea.
You know, in Alaska, it's a winner take all. But that is, it's actually a way of having a ranked choice vote almost, isn't it? It does allow, we only have three electoral votes. So mm-hmm. I'm not real experienced with states that have more than, have large numbers, right? So I'm not sure I'm an expert on this one.
Well, and I wonder if there would ever be a chance where Alaska would decide that it's just going to have one electoral vote from the Anchorage area and then the rest from somewhere else. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll have that be the last word. I want to, we don't have time for a quiz, Talib. Yes. I'm sorry to say, but okay. I want to thank my guest, Gavin Jackson, host and reporter at South Carolina Public Radio, host of the South Carolina Lead podcast. Gavin, thank you so much for being on The Middle.
Thanks.
And Kathy Geisel, majority leader of the Alaska Senate Bipartisan Coalition. Wonderful to have you on as well.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Now, next week, Talib, we are back on the road broadcasting live from KUER in Salt Lake City with a single guest, the governor of Utah, Spencer Cox, who is a Republican, who's chair of the National Governors Association, and his key issue is getting people to disagree without demonizing each other. Isn't that nice?
Look at that.
he will be with us for the full hour taking calls at 844-4MIDDLE.
And by the way, make sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter at listentothemiddle.com.
The Middle is brought to you by Longnook Media, distributed by Illinois Public Media in Urbana, Illinois, and produced by Joanne Jennings, Harrison Patino, John Barth, and Danny Alexander. Our technical director is Jason Croft. Our theme music was composed by Andrew Haig. Thanks to Nashville Public Radio, iHeartMedia, and the more than 400 public radio stations that are making it possible for people across the country to listen to The Middle. Again, Salt Lake City next week with the governor of Utah, 844-4MIDDLE, with your questions and comments. I'm Jeremy Hobson. I'll talk to you next week.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.